You can turn to Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1. We'll get there in a minute. Psalm number 1. We're in a series entitled Biblical Basics, and this is the eighth topic in that series. If someone were to ask us, what are the fundamental necessities to being healthy? All right, we want a healthy Christian life, and if they were to ask us that in a physical, in our physical life, we might think exercise, get rid of bad habits, lower your stress, and eat right. Right, that would be four good components, and these are all good points. But there's something more basic still, and it's something that we often don't really think about because we think it just sort of happens. We think that we don't have much control over it, although we do. One of the most fundamental elements of our health is our digestion. According to one source, the general consensus among health professionals is that most, if not all, major diseases start in the colon where we digest food. Okay? That's a pretty serious statement, that most, if not all, major diseases have something to do with where our digestion takes place. Tonight, I want to address our spiritual digestion. We direct people to read the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God and reading the Word of God, but I think probably much less are they instructed in how to digest what they read. I believe our spiritual digestion, if you will, what I equate that with is the scriptural teaching of meditation. Now remember, when we talk about biblical meditation, it doesn't mean sitting in our living room barefoot, our heels together and our arms outstretched with our fingers like this and trying to empty ourselves of everything and contemplate the great nothingness. All right, that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is really the opposite. Instead of emptying ourselves of everything, it's filling ourselves with something. Okay? It is the concentration on something specific. If I could give a definition of it, meditation is the repeated, serious consideration of a truth or passage. Not a confusing definition, and you know that, what meditation is. It involves asking questions and seeking the full import of the Scripture at hand. Meditation helps us to draw out of Scripture the truth and its application to our lives. I get illustrated this way. Maybe you're not all tea drinkers. I could use a tea illustration, but maybe coffee. Okay, you're big into coffee, and you like the flavored coffee. And I tell you, oh man, I've got this coffee that just hits the senses in the greatest way. It smells great. It tastes great. It feels great. It is the number one coffee. And I've got it here right in this little bag. It's kind of like a little filtered bag. And it's just got that aroma, and it's got a creamy taste. It's just fantastic. And you're, oh, man, well, good. I'm into coffee. I'm into gourmet flavored coffees. Let me at it. Let me taste this coffee. And so I take this bag of the coffee grounds and the spices and the creamy element, and I take it, and you get that cup of water all heated up and ready to go, and man, you're just really looking forward to it. And I take that bag and I go bloop in and out. Just about a second, and I go, all right, there you go, buddy. Enjoy that cup of coffee. And of course you're looking at pretty much a cup of water. And you're like, oh, wait a minute, you didn't give it any time. The water hardly had time to get in, let alone get anything out. And yet, in the same way, that's the way a lot of times people take this wonderful, fabulous Word of God. And we say, I've got the answer to your problems. I've got answers to your questions. I've got something that'll change your life, something that's just totally awesome. And here you go, boop, 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes. You read it 5 minutes in the morning, boy, you'll be set. No, you won't. You've hardly given it any time to seep into your life. You've not given it any time. You've not given yourself time to draw out of the passage what it really means and how it applies to your life with that little five-minute dunk in the morning. So I asked the question to start out, why meditation? I mean, why is it even a subject of the Scriptures? Why is it important? Why is it even there? Because it's our spiritual digestion. And I hope by some pictures tonight and verses to demonstrate to you the need of and the benefit of meditation in the life of every Christian. We live in a fast food nation and an instant society. I can see it in my own life. Heidi, you say she's gone on a trip, and I'm sitting there working on the computer, and all of a sudden I'm hungry. You know, and so I think, I need to go get something to eat. So I go to the freezer, and I open the freezer, and I pull out a pot pie. And I start reading the instructions on how to prepare this pot pie to eat, and I'm already a little bit hungry, probably on the border of hungry. And I'm disappointed, and I'm amazed. I'm almost appalled that it's going to take me almost 30 minutes to get a decent meal on my plate. I mean, my instant rice is going to be ready before that, and it's going to take so long. And I remember a preacher talking about how he paced the kitchen, and he was getting impatient waiting for the microwave. You know, it's taken too long heating my coffee up. Come on, we got things to do here. We live in an instant society. When I was in high school, I worked at McDonald's, and it was probably in the drive-thru one day. You meet all kinds, I suppose, in the drive-thru. And typically, you were supposed to get the order ready, I think, in about a minute or two. That was the goal. By the time they ordered it and they got to the window, boom, you were supposed to have it ready in a minute or two. We were probably running way behind that day, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, okay? And I remember the phrase as we gave him his food, I thought this was fast food, you know? And it's taken 6 minutes to get him his food. Where have we come? Rachel would tell us how long it takes to cook a real meal from scratch. But we're an instant generation, a fast food nation. Our society has tended over the last few decades to acquire those practices and those foods that require less and less time. We've opted for convenience over health. We've tried to save time, and in the process, we've lost health. But in the same way, many have tried to save time in their spiritual lives. But we have to understand tonight, understand this basic idea that growth takes time. Growth takes time. Understanding the riches of the Word of God, and it is riches, takes time, a lot of time. And so we're just going to have to slow down and figure out what the Word of God means. Meditation is a combination of truth and time, but time. It takes time to sit down and think through what we're reading. I find our physical life so very like our spiritual lives when it comes to the matter of diet and digestion. I don't know if you find this fascinating as I do. I just thought this analogy was just so striking between physical digestion and spiritual digestion. Another source says, if we are what we eat, then what we are is only as good as our digestion. When it goes awry, that is our digestion, when it goes awry, it generally affects our total well-being. Whether it's mild nausea, a nasty virus, or a chronic disorder such as irritable bowel syndrome, a disorder of the digestive tract is usually impossible to ignore. And if the condition persists, it can undermine our total health, eventually threatening our very lives. That's talking about physical digestion. How much more does spiritual digestion gone awry affect our health? How much more does it make us lethargic and sickly and anemic, if you will, when we lack and our digestion spiritually isn't what it ought to be? We don't spend time digesting our spiritual food. I believe that the effectiveness of the Christian life and the hope of a heavenly commendation are, at least in part, in large part, dependent upon our understanding of, and really our obedience of, the Word of God, which is greatly facilitated by meditation. All right? Keep your finger in Psalm 1 and look at Joshua 1 for just a moment. Joshua chapter number 1. To show you in Scripture what I just said, Joshua 1. And verse number 8. Joshua 1 and verse number 8. And Joshua is here told, stepping up into the leadership now of Israel, this book of the law. Well, what is the book of the law? What is the law? It's the expression of the character of God. It's a revelation of his of himself, of his character. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's a tremendous statement. Now, notice, it didn't say, meditate. If you meditate, you'll be a great success. That wasn't the exact connection. He says, if you meditate, you'll obey. And if you'll obey, you'll be a great success. So, The effectiveness of our Christian lives, our commendation that we're seeking in heaven, is dependent upon our understanding of what God wants us to do, right? And our actually doing it. But that, my friends, is greatly facilitated by meditation. When we meditate, when we think over, when we ponder, when we take time to seriously consider the Word of God, then we know what it means. Then we can do it. Then we can be a success. Now Psalm number 1. Blessed, happy is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man who doesn't do those things. But the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. There it is again, the revelation of his character. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what would be the result of that? Well, that man who meditates in the law day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, never needing for anything to drink, always having sustenance there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, phenomenal phrase, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What better promise? If you could ask somebody, hey, tell me how to be a success. Tell me how everything I could do would prosper. Is there a promise like that in Scripture? He describes it right here. It's the result of a man who meditates. Who meditates on the Word of God. Oh, no, preacher, can't be that simple. It is that simple. It's just that we refuse, we somehow can't get ourselves to slow down enough to take the time to slowly learn the Word of God and grow. But it's going to take time, a lot of time. But that is a phenomenal passage right there. That's why I say I think that the effectiveness of the Christian life and our heavenly commendation is in large part dependent on our meditation. Okay, on our ability to obey, which is preceded by our meditation. Meditation is largely how we digest the Word of God. Again, another source states this, or one source I already stated, the main purpose of the GI tract, speaking of our physical digestion, our gastrointestinal tract, is to break down carbohydrates, fats, and proteins into molecules small enough to be absorbed through cell membranes. In that way, it provides the cells with the necessary energy for life and health. You say, I knew that. That's basic. All right? But I see such a correlation there to our spiritual lives. What meditation, our spiritual digestion, what's the purpose? The purpose is to break down the Word of God into small enough pieces that we can actually absorb it. I mean, what good is eating a huge meal if you don't absorb any of it? In like fashion, what good is it to read 5 chapters, 10 chapters? What good is it to sit down and read a book through if you didn't absorb any of it? You understand? So our spiritual digestion, very much like our physical digestion, is meant to break it down, make it absorbable. And that aids our energy and our health. Where do we get a vitality and an energy and a health and a strength to do the will of God? By understanding His Word. How do we do that? We break it down piece by piece. We chew it up. We digest it. Take it into our spiritual lives. So meditation helps us to break down the passage into lessons that can be absorbed into practical living, proper theology. Do you know where digestion starts? Where do you think digestion starts? Good, good. We might be tempted to say, stomach. Starts right in our stomach. No, actually it starts the moment you stick it in your mouth. Your mouth is a part of that digestion. In other words, your food has to be properly chewed. Okay? How's this for a Mother's Day gift? I called my mom today and I said, do you mind if I use this illustration of you when you were young and had trouble swallowing your food? And she said, no, that's actually a good idea. You go ahead and do that. But my mom, when I was young, I remember her sharing with me that as a mother, when I was already living, she still struggled with swallowing her food nearly whole. She would chew it maybe 2, 3, 4 times and swallow it. Because as a child, she was timed in eating her breakfast. she told me that the kids would in, I guess, getting ready for school, her mother would give them 3 minutes to eat their oatmeal. And there was raisins in the oatmeal. So Uncle Jim always got a spanking because he stopped to chew the raisins. Okay? But she learned to get it down in 3 minutes by basically swallowing it whole. And so she struggled into her adult life to stop long enough to chew her food. And that's not healthy to just swallow food whole, because your body has to work so much harder, and it's not broken down. It's gonna it's just gonna lead to problems. But why did she have a problem? Because she had a time constraint. Why do a lot of people have problems meditating? A time constraint. They've placed on themselves an unrealistic time constraint. They've tried to fit their spiritual lives into the normal American schedule. And that makes for a weak Christian. We need to work, beloved, to fit the normal American schedule, or an American schedule. Forget the American. Need to fit our schedule into our spiritual life. Okay? And put first things first. I've given these analogies in an attempt tonight to convince you of the absolute necessity of meditation. Not just to say, you know, meditation's a good idea. You know, if you have the time, maybe it'd be nice to, you know, once a year set aside for a Bible study. No, I'm telling you, just like chewing and just like the digestion of every piece of food that you eat, it is necessary to good health, so you need to be digesting the Word of God on a regular basis. Learning it and growing and gaining the nutrients and gaining energy and strength and vitality. It is necessary to the Christian life. To explain to you what it is, okay, it's the pondering, the serious consideration of a passage of Scripture. But now, I want to show you several Scriptures that deal with the subject before we close. But before we move on, let me give you one more analogy. It seems in my limited study of nutrition that I have found that the more food is processed, the less it offers. Conversely, the closer to its natural state the food is, we call it raw, the closer it is to raw, the more nutrients it still contains. This isn't to say that processed foods don't have anything to offer, all right? They might give you something, but usually in giving you that something, they give you much less, and they also give you additives that you'd really rather not have. Okay, that's the way it is in normal food. So it is, though, with the source of our spiritual food. And what do I mean by this? We have to be careful that the raw Scriptures are the main part of our diet. What do you mean, the raw Scriptures? I mean, you can go to the bookstore and find book after book after book of processed Scriptures. What do I mean by that? Another man sat down, he meditated for hours on a certain subject, he chewed it up himself, then he spit it out, he digested it basically for you, he wrote it down, and now you read about the Bible. Or you read about a doctrine that somebody else has already studied. And that has its place to a degree, but it's processed, and it holds less for you than going to the Word of God yourself, studying out the same subject, and gleaning all of those things that you could have. Does that make sense? That analogy makes sense? Okay. So those books do have some value. Of course, listening to preaching like this, we've tried to digest it for you. But, you know, I hope you notice in Sunday school and in our preaching and the way pastors preached Ephesians, you see how he's studying. I've looked at this. I've compared this. This is what I've noticed. He's teaching you how to digest, not just spitting it out and saying, believe this because I said it. This is my opinion. No, this is why I came to this conclusion, because this is what I looked at, this is what I looked at, and this is how I digested this passage. Oh, I can take that home and do that too, okay? So these have its place, but the raw Word of God needs to be a regular part of your diet. Now look at Psalm 49 and verse 3. We're going to look at several passages here that deal with meditation. The word meditation is only used about 20 or 22 times in Scripture, only twice in the New Testament. Now, in a full study, you could look at words like think, ponder, consider, and consider those words as well. But looking at this word meditation, Psalm 49 and verse number 3. Psalm 49 and verse number 3. The psalmist writes, "My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding." The meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. What's the purpose? What am I doing this for? I'm meditating and I'm digesting this passage with the goal to understand it. Well, duh, Pastor. But it's stating the purpose. It's understanding. Understanding, once again, is a process of truth and time. Truth and time. The effort of the saint to digest the word as the Spirit illumines his mind. Now look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse number 12. Pastor, where do I start in meditation? I mean, there's so much. It's a huge book. Where do I start? Psalm 77, verse 12. The psalmist says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I'll meditate of all thy work. Can I suggest to you that if you don't know on what to meditate, that you might just begin with all his works? That'll keep you busy for a while, won't it? Creation, salvation, conversion, his daily blessings in your life. Just look around you. Start meditating on those things. Meditating on that in the Word of God. That should provide sufficient fuel to fire our devotion. Now look at Psalm number 5. Psalm number 5. I think you'll find the meditation goes hand in hand with something else. As you're digesting a passage of Scripture and you're bombarding it with questions and you're seeking to understand it, your mind's going to be turned to something else. Psalm 5 and verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. I think meditation is going to go hand in hand with prayer. Because you're going to sit there and say, God, what does that mean? Lord, I'm asking myself this question, and this passage says this, and this passage says this, but if it means this, then how do I apply? Lord, help me with that. Lord, illumine my mind by your Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. That meditation is just going to go hand in hand with prayer. You're going to, possibly as you digest these prayers of the psalmist, you're going to begin using them yourself. You're going to begin referring to Scripture. You're going to be asking the Lord for help and for understanding. Cultivating in our minds the words of God causes us to communicate more earnestly, accurately, and probably regularly with Him. Now Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the very last verse there, he ends the psalm this way in verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He first says the words of my mouth, and then he follows it up with the meditations of my heart, because the words of our mouths are inevitably tied to the meditations of our heart, right? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you meditate on is what you're going to be talking about. Do you want pure words then? Oh yeah, Pastor, I want to be one of those guys that, but when he talks, there's something to listen to. I want those words that heal, that bless people, that uplift people. Well, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to meditate on God's words. You're going to have to meditate on words of wisdom and healing and comfort. You're going to have to make those something that you're digesting, and that's what will be expressed in your words. Look at Proverbs. Keep your finger here for a minute. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. This goes right along with this, the meditation of our heart being directly correlated to the words of our mouth. At Proverbs 22 and verse 17. He writes here, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. I would say that would have something to do with meditation. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Boy, you listen to the words of the wise, think about them, meditate on them, roll them over in your mind and say, that's what I want to be and that's how I want to be. And you know, it's going to turn out that as you think on those things and you meditate on those things, next thing you know, they're going to be fitted to your lips and you're going to be talking those things. Because the meditation of your heart is directly related to the words of your mouth. Now look at Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4 and verse 4. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Okay, remember that thought and look over at Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. In the night watches. And one more, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 148. Psalm 119, verse 148. Psalmist writes, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. What's he saying there? His meditation continued through the watches. It continued through the various hours of the night and the morning. This was a priority to him. This was something that consumed him. And I'd venture to guess that when he awoke, his mind was on the Lord. Why? Because it wasn't just a 5-minute habit in the morning. It wasn't kind of his little dose. It wasn't his dunk of tea. It was something that he was almost constantly, it was something that he was regularly, daily, more than once a day, contemplating and thinking and wondering about and asking questions, wanting to know the word and the will and the way of God, even into bedtime and into the night watches. In that same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 23, we read this. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Now, I think this verse has an interest, just a tremendous implication and application. He's saying the princes, they accused me of things and they spoke wrongfully of me. And we all know that's hard. Somebody lies about you and wrongly accuses you. And what is the natural response? Oh, bitterness and hurt and pain. And what did the psalmist say? So I wrote a letter to the editor. I gave him a piece of my mind. I confronted him right away. No. He says, they spoke evil against me and I meditated in your word. Wow. Retaliation was replaced by meditation. Dwelling on the hurtful actions of others was replaced by dwelling on the gracious character and powerful acts of God. Oh, preacher, I don't have time to meditate. Do you have time to worry? Then you have time to meditate. You have time to be bitter? Then you have time to meditate. It's just what you decide to think on. What are you stewing on? It's just what are you deciding to think about? You have time to meditate. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How is a young man going to cleanse his way? How is he going to be pure and live right and know what to do? By taking heed to the word of God. In verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against God. Now, so often we think, hide God's word in your heart. You memorize it. Beloved, I think it goes further than that. I think memorization is a good step. I think it's kind of filling the jar, if you will, with plenty of truth so that in your mind, at any point, you can go up out of that jar and you can grab a truth out and start to think on it and chew on it and think about it and then go back and grab another truth and think about that. I think memorization helps, but I don't think it's the end. Memorization is a step to meditation. When he says, I will hide the word of God in my heart, I think that's going to be more so or as much meditation as it is memorization. And by the way, if you memorize and memorize and memorize, you're actually going to start meditating. You're going to be thinking over that verse, thinking over that verse, thinking over that. But don't stop short at just, I know the verses. I can rattle off verses. What do they mean? What has it done for you? How does it apply? Hide that word in your heart in reality. Psalm 119, verse 97. Verse 97. Psalmist makes a wonderful statement. Oh, how love I thy law. Really? How do you express it? It is my meditation all the day. I just wonder if we took a poll in 100 Baptist churches, how many of you love the word of God? Amen, preacher. Love the word of God. I love the law of God. How many of you are meditating it? You love it so much you're meditating it all day. Oh, well, I mean, look, we're not going too far with it. I mean, my shortcomings and failures and everything. But I love, you know, if we love the Word of God, it ought to be expressed in a meditation. It ought to be our meditation all the day. Look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Whether he's speaking about his enemies being ever with him or the commandments, I'm not sure, probably both. And then he says, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Do you see that exalted position it can give you? Do you see that kind of understanding? Well man, he's a teacher. I mean, he knows it. Hey, listen, you can meditate on the Word of God too. You don't have to leave it up to an elite people. God can show you what he means, all right? He wrote it to be understood. And so meditate on the Word of God. He can give you better understanding than your enemies, than your teachers. If it's your love, if you love the law of God, then meditate in it. Then meditate in it. And one more verse, Psalm 119, verse 15. In verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What is meditation once again going to lead to? I think about what you want me to do. I've looked at your law and how you've laid it out and your character and how you want us to order our steps. And so you know what I do? I respect that. And I do it. I obey it. I say, hey, if that's what it means, I'll do it. And that ought to be where our meditation leads. Meditation is absolutely necessary tonight to your spiritual health. I hope you see that. That you say, well, that's not normal. It's not maybe normal. American Christianity doesn't mean that it's not supposed to be normal. I think it's going to contribute. It's going to be a factor that is going to help us be healthy and energetic Christians, deep Christians, Christians that are doing the will of God and are treating the Word of God appropriately. We're meditating on the Word of God. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time, okay? I think we need to start setting some time aside right now. I'm not saying set aside 7 hours a day, but maybe set aside more than 5 minutes. And maybe not just try to shove a bunch of Scripture through you, but get a passage and start chewing on it and start thinking about it and start asking God, what does this mean and how do I apply this to my life? Some may be dealing tonight not with poor digestion, but if we're honest, starvation. You can't digest what you don't have in the first place. And before we ever get to the issue of meditation, we need to simply talk about, do you sit down with the Word of God on a regular basis? Do you know what it says? Are you reading the Word of God? Others may be dealing with too much processed food. You're eating the opinion of others and you're reading about the Bible. You need to get to reading the raw thing. But there may be those tonight who have a regular time of reading the Bible, and I commend you for that. If you do, I commend you for taking that first step and choosing the raw Word of God, the right food. That's good. Now it's time to take the next step of prioritizing our spiritual success, our obedience to God, prioritizing that. Because that's going to come only by understanding the Word of God practically. By breaking it down into pieces that can be absorbed into our thinking and practice. By digesting the Word of God. Beloved, we need to meditate.